Okay, boys, today's daf is daf Tzadik Aleph. We're holding five lines on the top of the Omud, where it says Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. We're only going to start from the bottom line of Tzadik Omud Beis, just Chazal the last few lines, because we're in the, if you will, in the middle of a story, so to speak. Anyway, the entire discussion of yesterday and today is focusing mainly on the inyan of Tchias HaMesim and HaToyrim. It doesn't say Befeirish Tchias HaMesim and HaToyrim. Therefore, the Gemara gave a number of remozim and allusions to that. And we're going to continue talking about that further. So the last line on Tzadik Amud Beis, Omele Keser L'Ram Gamliel, Amritu D'Shechvi Chaya. You all hold that Shechvi, those that passed away, Chaya, will eventually be reborn, be resurrected. Tchias HaMesim. How is it possible? Ha'av Afra. They're only Ufer Ve'Efer. They're only dust. They're only dirt. Afra Mikachaya. Can you go and take Ufer and make it live? This is what the Keser asked on Gamliel. Amar Lebrate, so the daughter of the Keser. The daughter of the Keser said to Ram Gamliel, Shavke, don't bother answering. But no madrana, lay. I'm going to go and answer my father. The daughter of the Keser says to Ram Gamliel, I'll take care of the question. And she gives now a mushalama duvadaima. Shnei yoitzim yesh bireinu. Can you imagine if we had two kalim manufacturers in our city? Echad yoitzim en amayim v'echad yoitzim en atit. One manufactures kalim from water. Can you imagine making a kli out of water? V'echad yoitzim en atit. And the other one goes and takes mud and cement and he makes a kli out of that. Eizim ehen mishubach. Which one would you consider to be much more novel? That would people would say, oh, wow. Amalei zesh yoitzim en amayim. Obviously, if you start off with tit, you start off with mud, you start off with cement, you put it into the furnace, and you mold it, and you manufacture, then of course it's much easier to go and make an earthenware kli. It could be the most beautiful in the world. But it doesn't come to someone who's able to go and make and fabricate kalim out of mayim, out of water. Did you ever hear of that? So Amalei told Avada, the father told the daughter, Avada min amayim, that would be much more choshev. So now she said, "Nu ay bazoi, mina mayim tzar, mina tit lekoshkein," meaning that all of mankind, all human beings, are all made out of mayim. How do we made out of mayim? Says Rashi, "Mitipa serucha." When the man goes and emits into the lady, gives her the zera, shivcha zera. That shivcha zera is basically water. It's just a small liquid. And from that liquid comes out a whole human being. And that human being has remachi vorim, shesagidim, it has a head, it has a mind, it has a ganze mensch. So if a Rabbi Yishlam can go and make a mensch out of water, certainly he can go and make it out of the offer, out of the tit. That was pshat number one that the daughter of the Keser said to her father. And now the Gemara continues, Tvei Rabbi Shmuel Tanim. On the surface, you could learn now the Gemara is speaking. But the way Rashi learns, he's saying that the daughter of the Keser is still speaking.
Wow.
And it's either cool, a different version, or this is a Ve'oidje Shloimar. You see Rashi, the first, the last of the now of the wide lines, and the first of the wide lines, we state, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Kal V'chayim Mekleis Schuchis, V'zuhi Tshuva Shehishiva Li'aviyah. This is the answer that she gave to her father. So either Rashi means to say this is a different version, Ika the Amri, or Rashi means to say, V'oidje Shleimer, Nochazach, she said to her father. So what did she say? Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, that Dvei Rabbi Shmuel had learned, so maybe she was Zoicha to go and say the same Moshel as Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, or maybe she heard it B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel. But regardless, what did she say? Kal V'chaymer Kli Zchuchis, I can make a Kal V'chaymer from a glass Kli. Ma Kli Zchuchis Amolon, Beruach, Bos V'dom, Nishbru Yeshlehem Takana, Madach by Kli Zchuchis, that's a glass Kli. What happened? Sh'omlam Beruach Bos V'dom. How do you manufacture glass kalim? For those of you that have never seen it, you have people that go and blow into the cement or into the tit or whatever it is, into the sand, but it's not just sand, it's got to be molten sand. Okay, so they blow into the molten sand and then it forms into a kli. Rashi doesn't say that he ever saw it, but he said that's what he heard. So apparently Rashi also didn't see with his own eyes. See the next Rashi, Maklis Chuchis, 7-8 lines on the top. Shemolim Baruch Shel Adam, Kishikshu, Oisa Oisa, when he is manufacturing this Klis Chuchis, Yesh Lo Shfei Feres, he has like a straw, a pipe, V'nefech L'toicha, and he goes and blows into it. V'chein Nishma Minut Mipil Umnen, this is what I heard from the experts, the ones that manufacture such glass, Caleb. So apparently Rashi never saw with his own eyes. He's saying, this is what I was told, that this is how they manufacture them. But I'm sure many of you have seen that with your own eyes. Anyway, so Madach HaKlis Chuchas, which are manufactured through the Ruach of Bas Vedom, Nishbru, what happens if they fall to the ground, and they break, Yesh Lem Takana. What's the takana? Says Rashi, you go and take them, you put it back in the furnace, and you let it go and melt, and then you start from scratch, and then you blow into it again, and you manufacture a brand new kli. In other words, it's not hopeless.
You recycle.
You can recycle it. Exactly right. So, Bas Vedom, Shebaruch Shebaruch Baruch Hu, a person that was created with Hashem's Ruach, Alachas Kam V'Kama, that it can be recycled through Tchiyas HaMeis. And that was the end of that discussion between the Kesar and the daughter of the Kesar and Rabban Gamliel. So the following min asked Rabban Ami. Min we normally translate as an apikoiris, but the Svarim say that min is also Rosh Tevis, either mitalmide Yeshu Notzri or me anshe Yeshu Notzri. Yeshu Notzri is referring to Yoshka, and this is from his initial Talmidim or his initial people. Anyway, so what did this min ask Rabban Ami? Amritu. You hold, you say that Shech V'chai, that the dead will eventually live again. Aivohava Afra, the Afra Mikochaya. That is word for word the same question that the Kesar asked to Rabban Gamliel. Omalei Emshachol Moshul Ma'adav Adayma, Mamelech Musav Adam She'omel Avodav, L'chu Ubnu Li Palterin Gidoylim B'mokim She'ein Mayim V'ofer. What happens if the king tells workers, I now give you the following mission, I want you to build a palter in a palace, a big palace, Paltrin Gedoylim, b'mokayim, in a particular place where there was no mayim v'ofer. In other words, presumably a place like a desert type of place where there's no mayim, no normal offer available for purposes of building a building. And if that's what the king says, holchu banu oisai, they went and built it. How did they build it? Obviously, they had to go and bring in the raw materials from elsewhere and put it together. Liyomim, after a period of time, Noflu, unfortunately the paltrin fell, like in Surfside. So Omul Hamzi said to the workers, no, Chazru Ubunu Oiso, I want you to go and rebuild it, but not in the same place. We're going to move it now. But Mokim Shiyesh Ofer Umayim, where there is plenty of the raw materials to go and build. Because after all, the bricks were made from a combination of Ofer and Mayim. Now it's going to be much easier to build because they have the raw materials on the spot. And Omruloyim, they said to the king, "Ain on yecholim." We're very sorry, we can't. We don't have the koyach. We don't know. They didn't explain why. They just said they can't do it. Kwasalim, so the king got very angry. Omrulahem, but mokim she'ein mayim ba'ofer benisam, whether you didn't have the raw materials, you were able to go and build. Achshav she'yesh mayim ba'ofer alachas kam v'kama. Look how much easier it is now because you don't have to go and scramble and bring ofer mayim from elsewhere. They're of an art. They're there locally. So says the Gemara, the im iat ma'amin, and if you don't believe it, say levika, go out into the valley, or a achbar, and you'll see over there a mouse, shehayoyim chetzi basar v'chetzi adama, that today half of it is basar, made out of flesh, and half of it is made out of adama, made out of earth. I'm not familiar personally with that type of achbar. However, in Masechtas Chulin, in the Mishnayos, the Tveris Yisrael brings from a scientist by the name of Link, L-I-N-K, and he wrote a whole series of books on presumably lots of scientific things, and one of the things he talks about is this achbar, and he says, yes, in Medinas somewhere or other, you have that type of achbar, that type of achbar we normally say is a mouse. Rashi says that he brings a French term, escroll, which normally we translate as squirrel. So Rashi says, Yesh b'minan, among the squirrels, there is a min she'ein nivroin al yidei tolda, which is not created through tolda, meaning the normal birth of a child to parents, to a male and a female.
What's the word in Hebrew? Tolda?
Tolder. Rashi brings it. Ain nevroim ayidei tolder. It's not brought. Maybe it's toiloda if you want to be fancy. That it's not born like normally a child is born to parents, or an achbar is born to its male and female parents. But nevertheless, yeah, you see the Rashi there, right? Anyway, but there is such a concept, not only a concept, there is such an animal, even though obviously it's not the type of thing that you see on a daily basis, but there is, that achbar shehayoyim chetzi basar, today, you look at it, you see, half of it is flesh and meat, like a normal animal, v'chetzi adam, and half of it is still made out of adam, it's still the earth. And l'mocher, the next day, hishritz, you'll see that it can go, and the basar part will sprout and will spread, and hishritz v'nasa kulei basar, and eventually it changes to total basar. And therefore, what Rabbi Ami is now telling to this min is that there is such a concept, and therefore you can have also a person who, at the moment after his passing in the ground, unfortunately has turned to offer ve'efer, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that spread and from the offer become a full-fledged basar v'dam. No longer the adama, but it spreads taka to basar v'dam.
If it was really a min, mm-hmm. I would say, what are you talking about? Your own belief, your own theology is that your God came back to life in human form.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the most. I mean, it's,
maybe he didn't want to give any credence.
No, seriously, but if you believe that, how can you not believe that God can resurrect a basar v'dam? It's extraordinary that this guy's this min is so stupid.
Okay. Well, there are stupid minim out there.
Oh, sure are.
He became a min in the first place, you see.
He became an idiot.
I'm sorry?
He was an idiot.
Idiot, right. The hedge, you're an idiot. Very good. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara continues on. You found the Mendy? Noch nicht?
I'll find it.
You'll find it. Can I borrow this for a moment?
Of course.
Okay.
There it is. Klein, I have
it. Klein? Yeah, still cousins, too.
The book by Dr. Langer from Switzerland, he has a picture.
Continue on.
He has a picture of a creature who he thinks the Gemara is identifying as this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in Lund Kulin it says that it's not that it's made, it looks, because its initial life, it's covered in mud, it has that appearance, so it's not something extraordinary. It's surrounded by mud, so to an observer it looks like it's half mud, half mammal.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it eventually matures, it shakes off the dirt, and you see it's fully a mammal, but it's a mistake, it's an illusion.
It's a dirty.
That it's actually half Adama.
Isn't there a book Achayvet Sameach b'Tanach or something?
No, this is not Tanach. This is a book on Chulin. It's by a Swiss.
Chulin Periktes Mishnevav. Periktes Mishnevav and Chulin.
It has pictures of the various creatures mentioned in Maseches Chulin, especially the birds and the other things. But when he gets to this, he actually has a. It's like a gopher. It looks like a gopher, but it's surrounded by mud.
Uh-huh. Okay. The here in the art scroll, I'm just quoting from Ariel's Gemara. It says that he brings here from the Mishnah Gemara in Chulin, and he says the Rambam writes in Pirush Mishnayis, the existence of such a creature is widely known, and uncounted people have told me that they have seen one. Though the existence of such a creature is baffling, that's what the Rambam writes. Tveris is baffling. Tveris Yisrael there cites a German scholar by the name of Link, who writes in his book Urwelt, volume 1, page 327, this type of creature called Springmose in German, found in Egypt in the area of Thebes, Thebes. He writes that the front quarters of the body, that is, the head, the chest, and the forelegs are well formed, while the rear quarters still appear to be unformed earth. A few days later, the entire mouse turns to flesh.
Anybody touched it?
Anybody touched it? Anyway, this is.
It's not one of the shrubs. I don't think it's one of the shrubs.
Anyway, it's a chulin test. Yeah. You found it, Nandi?
Yes.
Yeah, you have it. That's it. Twice.
You know why? You can buy it. Also, believe
that. Okay. Allah Akbar. Anyway, so having discussed Allah Akbar, very good. Okay, anyway, it's getting back to our Gemara. So we see that there is such a concept of a human, not a human being, but at least a creature, being Chatzi Adama, and that Chatzi Adama gets transformed, guess what, from Adama into real Basar Adama, becomes Nasa Kule Basar. Shema Toimel is my Meru, but if you're going to go and tell me, yeah, but this doesn't happen overnight, this is the type of thing, you've got to wait a year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or something like that. Alei Lahar, go up to the mountaintop, or A, and take a look. Shehayoyim today, Ein Boi Ela Chelozin Echad. You look down to the yam down below, and you'll only find one chilos. Chilos, as you know, is what we make the tchelis out of. Lamachar, the next day, Yerdug Shamam, if it were to go and rain, and you look down again, the smalikulei chelzoinais. And now you see you have tons of these chilosins in the water. Why do you have tons of chilosins in the water? Because apparently, until now, you had a lot of beye chelozoins. Beye means you had the eggs. And now, as a result of the water, they'll sprout. And all of a sudden, from the one chilozin, you're going to find tons of chelzoinus. So that's what Rashi says on the third line on the left-hand side. The near the moirish, beye chelozin mashritzin kulan. Anyways, the point is, today you only see one. Tomorrow you see that there are thousands over there. How could that be? So same thing, you can have dead bodies, which you look at them today, it's just off of Aver, and then the next day they're walking around. Wow, it's unbelievable. Now we're going to talk about Gvia ben Pesisa for quite a few lines over here. As you'll see, he was a Chacham, and the reason why he had a name Gvia ben Pesisa is unfortunately because he had a hoiker. Hoiker in English, he had a hunchback, and therefore, I don't know exactly how the words Gvia ben Pesisa relate to that. Maybe Gvia means he was tall, ben Pesisa, it looked like he was shaky and he was bent over, but anyway, he had a hunchback. The only reason why we mention that is because that will become important in another few lines in the story.
Sisa, our footsteps?
That would normally be Sisa, this is Aramaic.
Sia is, I think, a footstep.
That's usually Pei Samach Yud Ayin Hei, something like that. But anyway, his name was Gvia Ben Basisa. Whether that was his real name, whether that was his nickname, but that was his name. Gvia Ben Basisa. And so the min said to him, "Vay lechoin chayvaya." This is a terrible lashon. He's saying, "Woe is to you, you rishoyim." That's what he said to about the yidden. That's what the min was saying. Damritan that you say meisichayim, that the dead will eventually be resurrected. I'm going to ask you, the chayin meisi, the meisichayin, marach those that are already alive, they eventually pass away. In other words, for some reason, they're not able to extend their life beyond their 80, 90, 100, 120 years, but they eventually all pass away. To Macy, those who already died, you're going to tell me, Chaim, they're going to go and relive once again. Does that make any sense? Omalais, and now Gvia ben Pesisa responded, Vay lechoin chayvaya, woe is to you, you Rishoin, Damritan, Mesa loichain, you're saying that the Mesa will not be reborn again. Talei havachaya, the havachaya loi, the loi, havachaya, madach, where previously there was a nothing, havachai, now you have a living being. In other words, you have a girl and a boy get married, and Baruch Hashem previously only had a family of two, and therefore loy, there was no child. And then 9 months later, a year later, havachai, Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a yesh me'ayin, is the havachai, a person that was previously living, so there was already a chazaka of life, like Koshken, wouldn't you say for sure, that means that there we can instill once again life in this former human being. That was Gvia ben Pesisa's answer. Amalei, so now the min, who had originally called Gvia ben Pesisa and Klal Yisrael Chayvaya Rishoyim, so now Gvia ben Pesisa returned the compliment and he said to him, Vailachem Chayvaya, you Rishoyim. Amalei, so now he, the min, got upset. He says, Chayvaya Karisali, you call me a Rasha? He says, Ikoimna, if I will be resurrected and I'm going to have Tchias Mason, the first thing I'm going to do is, Be'itna Bach, I'm going to go and give a kick to you, Gvia ben Pesisa, Upeshitna Lak Musach Minach, and therefore straighten out your hunchback.
Well, that's what the goy saying.
That's what the min said to him. If I get resurrected, the first thing I'm going to do is, well, it doesn't say the first thing, but it says that's among the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to go and give you a kick so that your hunchback is going to become back to normal. Amalei, so now he answered him in somewhat of a jocular fashion, Imata Isakane, if you'll be able to do that, Roifa Umanti Kore, you're going to be able to get a sign that you happen to be a real expert doctor. You'll be able to earn a lot of money if you're able to go and straighten out people that have hunchbacks.
What's a hunchback in Yiddish?
A person who has a hoike.
Okay.
A
person who's lame. No problem. A lot of lame people are hunchbacks. Hunchbacks are lame, but they're not necessarily related to one another. They have a hoike. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Turn it around. The Esrim Yarboim B'Nissan, the 24th day of Nissan. Now, when you see a brisa that begins that way, you know we're talking about Megillas Tanis.
Yes.
Megillas Tanis is a sefer that was extant in the times of the Gemara, where they would record various Nissan that happened in various places, and they would say because of the strength of that Ness, at least in that place, and sometimes even the broader population, would be nohig that day as a yomtiv. And therefore, it was Osir Betanis Ubehespid. Nowadays, if we had a sefer like that, that would mean we wouldn't say Tachlin on those days. But anyway, this is what was in those Beyom Mehe. Be'esrim Babov and Nisan, the 24th day of Nisan, Isnatilu di Musnoi Meyehudim Yishaloyim. We ridded ourselves of the di Musnoi. Who are the di Musnoi? So you see Rashi in the left hand margin in the middle. Di Musnoi. These are people that are bad guys, bandits. They want to go and steal back properties from Eretz Yisrael. And so the Gemara tells us, when some Africans came to Eretz Yisrael, Lord and Im Yisrael to have now like a din Torah to go and discuss with them and have a dialogue. What was their dialogue? Lefnei Alexander's Muktoim. They wanted to have the dialogue in front of Alexander the Great. And Amruloi, they said to him, Eretz Kanaan Shalonohi. Now this is once again being addressed to the Jews, but as we'll see, Gvia ben Pesisa is going to represent the Jews in this debate or disputation. So these Bnei Africa are coming and they're saying, Amruloi, Eretz Kanaan Shalonohi. After all, we are Eniklich of Canaan. And therefore, we want to get back our land, Eretz Kanaan. You Jews took it away. Sounds like modern day politics and actual, not only politics, but actual real ongoing affairs in Gaza. And the land is ours. It belongs to us. And our rose. That's it. It says in Pasuk. Eretz Kanaan l'Yisrael. U'Kanaan avuim d'hanoi imchihava. We, the Bnei Africa, we are descendants of the Bnei Kanaan, of Kanaan himself, and Eretz Kanaan of Gulisel belongs to our Zayid, and we want it back. Amalu Gvi ben Psis Lacham, Gvi ben Psis said to Chacham, you know what, Tunu li Richus, Te'elech v'odani moin, Lefnei Alexandris Muktain. You don't have to waste your time, you can continue learning the Daf, and I, Gvi ben Psisa, I'm going to go and have this debate with these Bnei Africa. Iminatzchuni, if they are going to win over me, Imru, then you'll be able to say, Hedrit Shibonim Nitzachtem, big deal. Had you fought against one of the real Chachomim, then we'd have tishmeted you. We would have destroyed you to smithereens. The reason why you were Menatzeach is because Kviyam Ben Besisa was, oh, great. This is what Kviyam Ben Besisa, of course, is saying about himself. That if I lose the debate, you'll be able to go and say, it was a Hedrit.
He's not Shimon HaTzadik or somebody.
Exactly. Dimani Anatzeach Oysamen, if I will best them, don't worry, I will not take COVID for myself. Imru Lehem, you can say, we can say, Toras Moshe Nitzchatem. It's because of the Toras Moshe, I'm going to be Uriah from Psukim to go and be Menatzeach, to go and win. So in other words, I'm not looking in this for self-aggrandizement, to become haughty or arrogant. I'm going to do the job. If I lose, you'll be able to go and say, no, they sent an Hedyut, if they were sent a Chosh of a person. On the other hand, if I win, I'm not going to take credit for myself. It's all because of the Holy Torah. Nosal Rishus Lacham said, okay, Gvim Bepsisa, go ahead. V'holach v'dani mo'en, in fact, he had his din Torah with them. Omlehem, he said to them, to the Bnei Kanaan, to the Bnei Africa, Ma'ichanata Mevi'en Raya, where you bring a Raya from? Omrulay Mina Torah, from the Torah, we just said. Eretz Kanaan, the Gvulay Se'asov, it belongs to us, we're Kanaan. Omelahen, oh, if that's the case, Afanili Ovilechem Rai Elmer Toy, I'll bring you right from the same Torah, Shenema. Vayoymer, Or Kanan, Ever Avodim Yeliachov. This, is, of course, is Noyach, who's now cursing Kanan. For all generations, they're going to be Avodim. That being the case, Eved Shekonah Nechosim, Eved Lemi, Nechosim Lemi. If an Eved goes and buys Nechosim, who owns the Nechosim? Avada belongs to the Baal Gus. And so therefore, presumably, since it says Yili Echov, that means to us, the Jews, you're Avodim, as Avodim. Yes, Eretz Kanan belongs to you, but automatically it belongs to us. Masha Kona Eved, Kona Rabboi. V'loi Oid, moreover, Elishari Kamishonim Shaloi Avadatunim. There were already many years that Shaloi Avadatunim, that you didn't produce work and servitude and slavery for us. In other words, we have a ton against you. How are you walking around as free men here in B'nai Africa and coming here on El Al flights to Eretz Yisrael to go and argue a case? You're Arab Adam. You haven't been working for the last 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years. You have to go and pay us back wages for all the slave years that you denied us. Omnam Alexandrus Malchus, Alexander the Great, said now to them, Echsir Lechuva, Nunu, Kvir Ben Pesisa said something, now what's your answer? So they said, Tanu Lonus Zaman Shloshiyam, give us 3 days to formulate a response. Okay, Naslam Zahn, give him 3 days. But Vilay Matsuchuva, they went through all the whole Torah, the whole Tanakh, from Bereshis all the way to the end of Divrei Yamim, and didn't find an answer. Miyad Barchus, what did they do? They all made a machta pleita. That means that they all ran away.
Otherwise, they'd be taking the slaves because.
Exactly.
They say, well, you lost the case.
They Kishahin's Royce, and they left their fields after they had already been planted. The Carmeian and their vineyards, Kishahin the Toys, when they were full of grapes. And that was a Shnas HaShmita, and this was wonderful for the Jews because, as you know, during Shnas HaShmita, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to do harvesting and all the rest. Now that these Goyim left behind all the Sodas and Kramim, there was plenty of food to eat for the masses. So, Baruch Hashem, this turned out very, very well for Klai Yisrael.
Shumpa Machas. Yes. They didn't live in Israel, in Eretz Israel. Which fields did they get?
Apparently, they had the fields which were outside of Israel. Right? I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't tell you for sure. But apparently, this was within reach, so they were able to go and get it. Anyway, Shumpa Machas, another time. Bo b'nei Mitzrayim, Lod from Yisrael, people from Egypt came to go be down in Yisrael. If they outside this mountain, Omer loy, how do you oimer v'ashem nosa eschino om b'nei Mitzrayim v'yash ilum v'yenatzlu es Mitzrayim before Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim and they had the Kriyas Yamsef, etc. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, and Moshe said to Klai Yisrael, go and borrow from all of your shechino, from all of your neighbors, they're Klei Chesed and Klei Zov, and just borrow it. And that being the case, they never returned the loan. And now it's 500 years later, or whenever it is, 1,000 years later, give back all of our Klei Chesed and Klei Zov. Tenu lanu Chesed and Zov, shenital to me men. Again, Omek Vivem, Sisek, Chom, Tenu li Rishus, Ve'elech Bo'odon Imoan. Please allow me to be the representative of Nei Alexandros. Im Yenatzchuni, if they best me, big deal. Hey, he fought against the Hedjit. Had you fought against one of Agdoli Ador, you know, we would have taken care of you 1, 2, 3. And if I win the debate, it wasn't me, it was the Heli Gatoy. Fine, go ahead. Money was done. So now he said to them, where do you bring a raya about the fact that we owe you all of this Klei Kesef and Klei Zov? That Hashem nosan chino om b'ein Yitzrayim v'yashilim, that we lent you these klei chesed klei zov. Omelin, if that's the case, afani lo yovi lechem rai element Torah. Also bring a rai for the Torah. Shenema, Moshe b'nei Yisrael yishosh b'mitzrayim shloishim shana v'arba mei oyishana, that Yidin lived in Mitzrayim for 430 years, and you had us work very, very hard, as we have in Parashiyos, Shemois and Ve'era. It talks about that they were thank you, and so therefore it was back breaking work and we had to work so hard. Go and pay for all of the work that we did throughout those years. We never got a nickel from you guys. Go and pay us for all of those years. Alexandris said now to the Bnei Mitzrayim, Echzir Leitshuva, Ezhoktach good. What's your answer? Amrulai Tanulanu Zaman Shloishiyam. Sounds familiar, right? He said, give us a chance to formulate a response for three days. Noslem Zaman, he gave them the 3 days. Bodka Vele Motzo, they didn't have a tshuva. Guess what? And they fled. That year was Shnasa Shmita. So once again, they had this beautiful bounty that otherwise was totally unexpected. People were probably living over sort of day to day, hand to mouth. And this way now, Baruch Hashem, they have this bounty of the Sodis and the crop.
This is not so extraordinary. I think around a little over 25 years ago, somebody in an Egyptian newspaper made exactly this claim, that the Jews owe the Egyptians for all the clay cuts that they up, and I think Netanyahu was in his first term as prime minister, and I think one of his ministers says, great, pay us for our slavery. Mamish the Gemara. It was the late 90s, an exact story like this.
Very good. Shekoyach. And the Gemara has another similar story. Mishum pamachas, bo b'nei Yishmol b'nei Keturah, lodun im Yisrael of Alexander Moita. B'nei Yishmol b'nei Keturah, our half-brothers,
cousins.
Well, now they're cousins, but in terms of Yitzhak and Yishmol, they were half-brothers. Om Eloi Eretz Kanan Shalanu Shalachem. We should go and share it. Tichsev, Eilu Tolus Yishmol ben Avram. Uksev, Eilu Tolus Yitzhak ben Avram. Yitzhak and Yishmol are both sons of Avram. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the land to Avram Avinu and to the others of Kedoshim, so they should get at least 50%. All the land to be a Ben Pesisa, same thing. I'll conduct the debate with the Alexander's Machter. If they're going to Metzenech, Amru, Hedjit Shabon, and Yisachtan. Big deal, we're just a Hedjit. V'imani Natsiach Oysam, Imru Laham, Toyris Moshe Rabbein, and Tzchater. Ah, of course, of the Helika Toyra from Moshe Rabbein. Nosso Rishus, Halach V'danimah. Where you bring a rai from? The pasuk tells you Shmuel ben Avram, Yitzchak ben Avram. I'll bring a rai from the Torah. Shenema. Ra'itan Avram as kol asher loy li Yitzchak. He gave everything to Yitzchak. In other words, all rights to Eretz Yisrael among them. As far from bnei apilagshim. In other words, you guys, the Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah, then Ashur Avram, nothing from Matonis. He gave them a consolation prize. He gave them Matonis. What are Matonis? We'll see what that means in a moment. What? So now he, Gvir ben Sisa, adds, Av Shenosim Agtin Lebona Bechayev. What's my Agtin? Agtin, Rashi says, is something like a last will and testament that he gave him Bechsav, that this belongs to you and this belongs to him. No. The Shigur ze me'al ze, and then he says, you Yitzchak stay with me, Yishmael, you can leave me, send him away. Kol miyesh lezal ze klum. After all, in his own handwriting, so to speak, Avram gave the tzavah, he's giving everything to Yitzchak, he's only giving these matonos to the Bnei Keturah, to me'al pilakshim, so that's what he gets. So, drei menishka kop. Frank, you want my matonos? What's the definition of the matonos? B'pien bar abam, l'am yishemos lehem, shem tumah. What exactly means Shem Tumah? So there's a last Rashi here on the Amid on the left side, Shem Tumah, Kishuf Umas Shaitim. That they're able to engage in sorcery and black magic, that's what he gave to them, to the Bnei Yishmael, Bnei Keturah, but they didn't get anything else. Omli Antoni Yisrael. Okay, so now we're starting something new. So anyway, so we see
but that... But they got 3 days, these guys.
They didn't get the 3 days, and they didn't have to make a plate. We don't know what happened to them, but...
Unfortunately, they didn't make a plate.
Okay. Alexander woke up.
Alexander. Okay, so that's the end of these stories. So I remember years ago, we're talking... I don't know how many of you remember, there was a Rabbi Steinberg that lived here on the west side.
Yeah.
He was known as the Ruv of Brod, the Brod Ruv Findeheim. Tremendous Talmud Chochem. He had a very patriarchal appearance. Anyway, so he was the Av Bezdin of what was at that time called the Estadris HaRabbanim, which today is called, I think, the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America. One of his major jobs as the Av Bezdin was, unfortunately, to officiate at many divorce proceedings and give gittin. Loyalena, very big Talmud Chochem, very, very nice, very with a bright smile. And he lived on 100th Street. He had a shul on 98th or 100th Street. Regardless.
So 101st Street, my building.
101st Street? Okay, my apologies, Rabbi Say, 101st Street. Thank you for the correction. Anyway, so what happened was he used to go and give every year his Shabbos HaGadol Drasha and his Shabbos Shuvah Drashas. And at that time, people would come from far and wide to hear it because he was a nice orator and he spoke beautifully. And so it was packed crowd. So I remember I was one of those drushes, and he said in the middle, and giving a long shir and halacha and agadah, so he threw in a milta de b'dichasa. So he said that there was a story where this that the Gemara is talking about in front of Alexandrus, this was real live stuff in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s. It was often, there were disputations, they called it.
Vikuach.
Good, vikuach in Hebrew, but in English, disputations. And you have even a sefer, Kisvei Ramban, where he has the vikuchim that Ramban held.
In Barcelona.
Yeah. Anyway, so there was one of these towns or villages where the local governor said, okay, the Galich wants to go and have a debate against the Jews. Jews, you have to go and find your scholar, your chacham, to go and debate against the Galich, and whoever wins, wins, and whoever loses, loses. And the one that loses, unfortunately, it's not going to be good news for them. And in terms of the Jews, either the Chas v'Shalom are going to be slaughtered, or they're all going to have to be expelled from that region if they lose the debate. Okay, so then the Jews get together in shul. What are we going to do? The Ruv started Chil Ura Oda Yechazon. He was a kind of noivis. And so were all the other Tamid Chachamim in the city. So there was one Amuretz on the back of the crowd. He says, I am willing to represent the Jewish people in this debate. And they look at him. He Yankel the Shister. That's Yankel the shoemaker. He's going to go and represent the Jews. And I'm Uritz Teraisa to Rabbanan. But nobody else wanted to do the job. He said he's willing to do it. Okay, we're going to appoint you. And the Oilam fasted for 3 days and three nights, like by Esther. And Vahi Hayoim. And now the debate is going to begin. So Yankel is Shisa is on one side, and the Galich is on the other side. The Galich is dressed in his priestly garb and
his finery.
And Nebuch Yankel Shista is all schmutzig from the shoe polish and from the shoemaking, and he's standing on the other side with tattered clothing. And the king, the governor, looks at the two of them. Oh boy, wow, what a match. So he says, you know what? Yidl, Yankel, you can go first. You ask the question. And the rules of the game are, the first person who says he doesn't know the answer, debate is over and we're finished. Okay. So Yankel gets up there and says the governor, no, what's your question? He says to the Galich, tell me, what does it mean, Eineni Yodea? What does the Galich say? I don't know. Debate is over, the Jews won, and we're finished. Okay. 2 days later, they made a Sudas Haidah in the town. Wow, Yanka, what he did, she, wow. Of course, he was the guest of honor, and they asked him to speak. So he got up there at the podium, and he said, a lot of people ask me, how did I know to ask this question? And then the idea that the Galich wouldn't know the answer and that we would win. He says, it's very simple. Every single week when I'm Ma'aver Sedra, I go over Chumash, and also I learn Nach, and there's Ivritach. Ivritach means there's the Yiddish translation at the bottom of the Chumashim, at the bottom of the Nach. Years ago, when you bought a standard Nach, you had Ivritach on the bottom. Today it's not that common because people are not that fluent in written Yiddish, regardless. Anyway, the point is, he said he came across a pasuk in Tanakh where it says, Eneni Yodea. And he looked in the Ivritach, and the Ivritach says, Ich weiß nicht, I don't know. And he says, I made a kal v'chaymer. He says, Ivritach knows kol ha-toira kula, from Brachos until the Reyom. See, obviously he was a goyin oiler. It comes Eneni Yodea, and he doesn't know. So I said to myself, if the Ivritach doesn't know, der galich et vizit, he's certainly not going to know. So that's why I was able to ask such a brilliant question. And then Ivritach doesn't know, the galich is going to know. So that's why galich says, I don't know. And that's how the Jews won the debate. Anyway, so he brought a raya from the Chumash, from the Tanakh, which says, now you can ask, where does it in any idea? I also don't know.
Rashi in the end told us.
Okay, it says, in any idea in the Pasuk?
Right, I think, no, Rashi says, there's some Rashi there. You know what I'm saying, Shai?
Yeah.
There's a Rashi in the Farshas told us.
And then we have in the Gemara sometimes Rashi.
Right. Yeah, but he wasn't such a great guy in this, Yankel Shista. He just knew that it says, in any idea, and the Ivri type says, Chvaitzish.
I actually heard the story was told of, it was in Prague, under King Charles of Prague.
Uh-huh.
So okay. It's not just a
it's a real life story. Right. Okay, very good.
Similar, very similar.
Very similar. So we're going to continue on. Zukti Mori Yetzvai, three lines to the bottom. Omalei Antoninus L'Rebbe. Kufin Ishama Yecholim Lifter Atzma Min Hadin. When it's going to come, people are going to go up after 120 upstairs. Both the Guf and the Neshama will be able to go and patter themselves and say to the Bez Neshamala, we didn't sin, blame the other guy. Kate said, how is that? Guf Oimer, Neshama Chotis. It's not me that I did the Chetoin. It was the Neshama that did the Chet. I'll bring you a Raya. Shemiyoim Shapir Shemimeni. Since that moment when Kadosh Baruch Hu took the Neshama out of the Guf, and I've been lying in the grave, I've been there like a silent stone, Bekever, and I didn't do anything wrong. It was when the neshama was within me. That neshama, he was the instigator. He was the sinner. You see, you took the neshama away. I haven't done a sin since then. Kunisht. When neshama managed, the neshama says the other way around. Kufchata. Shemiyom sheparashi mimenu. From that moment that you released me, the neshama, from that body. Hareni parachas ba'avi ketzipur. I fly around like a free-flying bird, like a tzipur drawer. I didn't do any sins. I didn't do anything wrong. It was only because of the effect that the influence of that goof down below. Since then, you think I've sinned? Not once. So now that's the Chayda Guta Taina, says Antoninus Rebbe. So Rebbe says, Omulei Emshech LaMoshel Ma'ad Dovadayim. I'll give you a moshel to answer your question. L'melech Musa Adam Shayulei Pardis No. He had a beautiful pardis, a beautiful orchard. V'hoyu boy, and in the orchard there were either b'choyreis or b'kureis, nois, they're like b'kurim, Rashi says, te'enei ha'b'choyreis, brand new, fresh, te'enim, figs. B'hoyshe b'hoyshne shamrim. And in this paradis, he had two shamrim, two security guards. But both of these security guards, however, had infirmities. What were those defects? Echad chiger, one was a hinkadika, that's a hinkadika, that's the one that's lame. V'echad sum, the other one that was blind. How are they going to be effective shamrim, I don't know. But presumably from afar, people see that there are two people there, you know, so they figure, let me go to another field. What do I need to go to that field if they see the two guards? So now the Chiger, who Baruch Hashem is able to see, even though he's not able to walk very quickly, says to the blind man, I see these beautiful, wonderful, ripening figs. Boy, why don't you go and give me a piggyback ride? If you're going to give me a piggyback, I myself can't climb up the tree. I can hardly walk. However, if you give me a piggyback ride, Yusuma, then I'm going to go and pull down some of those figs and we'll be able to go and share it. And in fact, that's what they did. Rochav Chiger al Gabi Suma. The Chiger went on the back of the Suma. And therefore the Chiger was now able to go and pull on the branches and on the figs and bring the figs down. And they both ate them. Eventually, the owner of the pardis comes back and he looks at the trees. Hey, where are those beautiful ripening figs that we had there a week ago? What happened to them? So the Chiger goes and pleads total innocence and he says, I don't have any feet. How could I, you know, don't look at me. Obviously, it wasn't me. I can't even walk 2 inches. I can climb up a tree. And the Suma says, you think I have eyesight? I have no idea what's going on at the top of the tree. Well, what do you want from me? So also, what did the Baal Pardis do? The Baal Pardis was no fool. He said, you know what? Go piggyback again like you must have done a week ago. And therefore he was down both of them together that they had this conspiracy, so to speak, of the Suma and the Chiger. Maybe the Shuma Zorka the Guf. When he's done them up in Shemayim, he throws them back one into the other. Dan oisem ki echad. Shnei Malach says in the pasuk, Yikra le Shemayim miol ve le oretz lodin imoy. Yikra ele Shemayim mibitzamoy. What's number one on the side? Yikra ele Shemayim miol ve le oretz lodin amoy. Okay, so he goes and both from the Shemayim miol and from the oretz, he has done both of them together. Yikra Shemayim miol zun ishama ve le oretz lodin amoy zeha guf. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu calls out to Shemayim to get the Neshama, to the land to go and get the Guf, merges them together, and then it's done both of them together.
Interesting, it starts out calling about Melech, and then it says Balas, the Baal Kerem.
Baal Pardis.
Baal Pardis, right. So it starts out calling as a Melech.
I guess so maybe he had a demotion in the interim, especially since he lost some of his wealth, he didn't have these fancy things anymore. Amalei Antoninus the Rebbe. Antoninus says to Rebbe. We're going to continue with another couple of stories, Antoninus the Rebbe, that what? That Neymah Chama Yoytzim Amizrach v'Shekas v'Marif. How come every single day the sun comes up in the east and it sets in the west? Amalei, so Rebbe said back to Antoninus, and he have a hipcha, if it would have been the other way around, Nami have a Hochi have a Amrsli. Then you would ask me the same question. You know, what difference? It goes up in the east, goes down in the west. If we go up in the west, and goes down in the east. You'd ask me why. Amalei, so Antoninus said, no, I'm no fool. Hochi come in lech. What I meant to say is, Name Mashi Kasba Marv. Why does it always go and set on the west? How is that any better than before? So Rashi says, because normally anyone and anything, they start off from one place and they return to the same place. Right? A person goes out to shul in the morning, where does he return? He goes back to his home where he came from initially. Do you ever have someone going to shul and then after that not coming home but goes to Africa or goes to Australia and doesn't return? Here, the sun comes up every morning in the east. Why doesn't it go home to the east? Shouldn't it go back to its bedroom, to its house, where it lives? Why does it go and set in the west?
Good question.
So he told him, "Can I lead in Sholem Lekoina?" The reason is because so that the sun should be able to go and give Sholem, Sholem Aleichem, in other words, to greet and say hello to Koina, means the Rabbi Sholem, who's the Koina Oilam, the ones that are in charge of the world. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk, Kutzvah, Shemayim, Lechom Mishtachvim, the whole heavens with all their constellations and everybody there, they are all mishtach, where they all bow down to Hashem. So what he means to say is that every single day the Shechina is considered to be Mamarav, and now even though that concept of Shechina being Mamarav is a little bit difficult, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is Moli Kolo Oilam Kulai, but nevertheless, Oishtein Chazal, Shechina is Mamarav. Some say that the reason why it says a Chazal Shechina Mamarav is because to say no to all of these stargazers and the sun worshippers, because those that sun that worship, those who worship the sun when it rises in the east, so all those sun worshippers would go and bow to the sun as it's coming up. So we want to go and show, no, that's not the ultimate God. It's Rabbi Yishlom, who's on the other side, is on the west. Anyway, so therefore the sun itself, it when it goes under at the end of the day, that going under is like bowing down to the Shechina on the western side of the hemisphere of the world. So that's the reason why it goes. See, incident. Why is Shekir Bemarav? Why doesn't it go home to the east? Because it wants to show its obedience to the Rabbeinu Shlom, who's on the west, by bowing down and now going down, like subjugating itself, and bowing and kneeling to Hashem, and then going down at the end of the day. Amaleis, and now Antonina says to Rabbi, "Betesi ad palgadurkia v'titin shalma v'teil." Why doesn't the sun do it already midday, as the sun is now all the way in the middle of the sky? It's now facing west. Until now, it wasn't at the middle; it was only, you know, somewhere down on the horizon. It didn't get up to the height of the sky. But now midday, that's where it is, and now it is already looking towards the west. So why doesn't it already at that time go and bow down and give shalom to the Rabbi Nishalem? Why is it wait until the end of the day? So Rabbi answered, it's because of the workers and because of the travelers. What means because of the workers and the travelers? So Rashi says, if you're going to say that the sun should go and bow down midday, that means that right after that it's going to go and settle in the west. Set in the west, not wait the entire day, because it's already in the process of being mishtachve to Hashem. If that's the case, the piyalim, the workers, they know that in the morning it's still early. When it gets midday, that's when the sun is at its hottest and at its brightest. And so the piyalim are thinking to themselves, "Oh, it's midday. We still have another 6 hours to go over the afternoon until the evening." Same thing as the Oivrei Drachim, people that are traveling. Again, they see the sun is there in the middle of the sky, and they see that it's at its hottest and at its brightest. They figure, oh, we have a few hours till we get to wherever we need to find a motel or an inn to go and lodge at night. And then, guess what happens? According to what you are asking Antoninus, already midday, once the son says shalom and is mishtach with Rabbi Shalom, it might then go under and set already then prematurely. And so therefore the Payam Ibrahim will say, here I thought I have hours to go, and poof, now it's all dark all of a sudden. So therefore, that's why the sun always sets gradually, so that with Payalim and Ibrahim can go and look at their watches, so to speak,
plan
and plan appropriately. Oh, When does the Kadosh Baruch Hu put the neshama into a human being? Mishas pekida or mishas yitzira? Rashi says pekida means, if you want to look at the Rashi, it's about two lines higher on the right hand margin, higher than where we are in the Gemara. Pekida, pekida is the Rashi. Mishosha malach poikid hatipa umevi lefnei hamokim. There's another Chazal in Masechtas Nida that every single time there's a tipa that goes into the woman and is going to now cause a baby to be born. So that tipa, the Malach brings in front of the Baruch Shalom. What's going to be with this tipa? Is it going to be smart? Is it going to be stupid? Etc. etc. Matele, what's its mazel going to be like? Oh, so at that time when that tipa, so that Bekida means at the very, very inception. After the husband and wife have
conception.
Very good. Okay, very good. So from the time of inception, conception, from that moment, asks Antoninus, is that the Bekid? Is that when the Neshama is Nizrakabai? Or is it Mishas Yitzira? If you go two lines higher in the Rashi, Rashi's gears apparently was in reverse. Mishas Yitzira, Shenikram Kulay Bebasar Begin Batzamas. We're talking about a fetus in utero, which is already pretty much fully formed, that you already have the basar, the gidin batzamis. It's not ready to come out yet. It might still be another month or two or three. But nevertheless, it's already, there's a yitzir. So when does the neshama come into the person? Mishas pekida, mishas yitzira. Amalei, so Rebbe said, mishas yitzira. That's the later time when there's already basar, gidin batzamis. Amalei. So now, Antonina says to Rebbe, does that make sense? As we know, if you have meat that you don't put in the refrigerator or the freezer, and in the good old days you didn't preserve it with salt, after 3 days it's going to be mesrachas. It's already going to have a terrible stench because it's now rotting. So you're going to do the same thing. This baby in utero, inside, if you're not going to go and put in the melach, if you're not going to go and put in the neshama and give it life, then after a few days, it's going to be masriya. It's going to be worthless. So wouldn't you think that you have to go and put in the neshama earlier? So he said, Ela mishas pekida. Says Antoninus, I disagree with you. From mishas pekida, from the time that the malach is pukir atipa, already then the Kodesh Baruch Hu puts the neshama. Om Rebbe, so Rebbe said to him, Dover zeh lemdani Antoninus. I learned this from Antoninus. In other words, I am maskim to him. I changed my mind, he's right, it's Mishas Pekida. So Antoninus taught this to me. And Mikra Messiah, and in fact, this is not his own, but there's a Pasuk in the Torah that supports it. Shinema, where's the Pasuk in the Torah? It's a Pasuk in Eiv, where it says, Uvkudascha Shamra Ruchi. So Uvkudascha means Mishas Pekida, that was the Shaila, Pekida Mishas Yitzira. From the time of the Pekida, Shamra Ruchi, there's already a Ruach, meaning a Ruach of a Neshama, in this fetus, in this kid. The only Antoninus Rebbe, a similar question. When does the Yetzirah have a shlit over a person from the time of the Yetzirah, which we had until now, right? It's in the fetus, where it's Babasar, Gidin, Batzamis. Or Mishas Yetzirah, when the child is born, when he comes out and starts crying. What is that when the Yetzirah is shlit? Amalei Mishas Yetzirah. So he told him for the Mishas Yetzirah when the fetus is still in the mommy's stomach, in the womb. Amalein Kain, if that's the case, then why don't you find that each one of the children, if they already have the Yetzirah at that time, so why aren't they kicking to leave earlier? Why did they wait so patiently until the ninth month? Ela Mishas Yetzirah. Elamai, it must be the Yetzirah only came into the human being, only Mishas Yetzirah, when the child is actually being born. So this is what the Antoninus said to Rabbi. Om Rabbi, Dover Zelim Dani Antoninus. This is what Antoninus taught me. Om Mikra Messiah, have a right to his posse, a right to him from a posse. Shinema, La Pesach Chatos Roivitz. La Pesach, when the child is at the Pesach, in other words, at the opening of the womb, ready to leave, then the Chatos Roivitz, that's when the Chet, that's referring to the Yetzahara, Roivitz begins to crouch onto and latches onto this child. That's the end of this shtickl. What Barry just put up a moment ago, everybody asks the same question. Masha asks the question, we have that famous chazal, that in fact Yaakov Avinu and Esav Arasha, each one was boyet, they wanted to go and leave early. when Yaakov and they passed a shul or Bismedish, Yaakov wanted to leave, and when they passed a tumah, then Esav wanted to leave. So the Mashiach just leaves it as a question without responding. So apparently these are two chazalim which are in conflict, because here the Gemara says it's only created at the time of Yetzirah. From that chazal is mashma that is created already Mishas Yetzirah inside the bed. Reish Lakish Rami. Reish Lakish asks Sestira, Ksiv, Bam Ivru Piseach Hora Violedes Yachtov. Ksiv Oz Yidali Ke Aliyo Piseach Vetoren Loshen Ilein Ki Nivku Bamidbar Mayim Unachom Barova. What is Sestira? What's the kasha? We're talking, these both Psukim Reish Lakish says are referring to the Emois of Oilam Haba when they will be Tchias Amesim. And the pasuk, the first pasuk says, "Bom during those days of psiach of tchias amesim, the iver, the one that's blind, the pisech, the one that's hinkadik, the lame, hora was originally born. The aledes yachta will now be reborn at that time in their old form as the iver and the pisech, the way they were boilam hazeh. That's how they're going to be resurrected at the time of tchias amesim." Okay, but there's another pasuk. Oh, is at that time, Yidalik Ayol Pisech, the Pisech that we just spoke about, he's going to go and be jumping around. Yidalik is going to be skipping like an Ayol, like a, either if it's an Ayol, then it would be a deer, and if it's Ayol, then it would be a ram. What does he say on the side? Kayol. Kayol, that's a form of deer. So just like a deer sprints and runs, so that's what the Pisech will be able to do at that time as well. The Torah Loshen Elaine, and the Elaine that until now was mute, he will be healed and he'll be able to go and speak. Kinivku b'midbar, in the midbar, in the desert, you're going to find mayim u'necholim barava. In the plains are going to be brooks and they're going to be springs and rivers, etc. So we see l'chayr from this that when people will be resurrected at the time of tchias ha'mezim, they're going to be healed. Oz yidalik ayel pisech, a pisech will be able to run around and sprint around. Okay, so muzach zayin. So Reish Lakish is answering his own question, and he is saying that initially when they are reborn at Tchias HaMeisim, they'll be exactly like they were at the time that they passed away. But Umisrapid, a minute later, a day later, a week later, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give them refuah, and then they'll be regular, normal individuals again. Why is this so important? So it's either Masho or other Mefarshim explain that it's simple, because if a person who passed away was a balmum, and then he's going to be reborn totally normal, people won't even recognize him, and they'll say, "Oi, Nebuch the Yankel, the blind guy, never was resurrected. Apparently, ain't like chedek l'olam haba, he's not going to have tchias amesim." Without realizing that, yes, Yankel Baruch Hashem was reborn, but now he has full eyesight. How can he have full eyesight? I remember for 20 years he couldn't see anything. So therefore they'll be reborn with their mom. Oh, Baruch Hashem, everybody that I know from the whole neighborhood, from the whole Bismedish, they're all Baruch Hashem, Tchias HaMeisim, and Mizrapim, and shortly thereafter they'll have a refuah. They'll be, like the second pasuk says, O Yidalik, O Yidalik, Ayel Pisech. Ula Rami, Ula asks the following, Stira Ksif. This pasuk is familiar to us because, unfortunately, they say it always at Levayis. Bilam Ovis Lanetzach, Moch Hashem Dim Mial Kol Panim. So Bilam Ovis Lanetzach means the time will come when Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to swallow up death forever. In other words, no more death, no more cemeteries, no more Chevra Kedishas, no more funeral parlors. Kunish, Moch Hashem Dim Mial Kol Panim, no more demoyis, no more death. Uksibit, there's another pasuk. Yanar Ben Meir Shana Yomis. A young man will die at the age of 100 years old. What does this mean? This means that, again, in the times of Mashiach, Tchias HaMeisim, etc., etc., people will live a much longer life. They will live, let's say, till 500 years. Just like in the times of Bereishis and Noach, you see people lived hundreds and hundreds of years. And a young person will be a person that dies at the age of 100. 100 is young. If you're supposed to live 500 years and you die at the age of 100, it's like a person who's 20 when he's supposed to live to 120. So that's the concept in Meishona Yomos, he's still a young guy. So now the steer is, the first pasuk says there won't be death anymore. And the second pasuk says people will die, but they'll have a richas yom. So isn't there a steer? Loikash, it can be so, can loif the chum. Sventach, if you're talking about a yid, you're talking about a goy. The yid are going to live forever and ever. Lenetzach. The goyim are going to pass away after 100 years, 500 years. Why they haven't tchias amesim at all? I'll tell you why. Because it says in the pasuk, "V'amdu zarim reut zaynchem ubenay nechar ikarechem v'karmechem." What is this all referring to? So the Gemara is going to tell us in another couple of lines, and the same thing applies to this Gemara as well. We're not talking about the ultimate Olam Haba, we're talking about the Yemos HaMashiach. And during Yemos HaMashiach, we're going to find in a moment, Shmuel is going to say, "Ein beina Olam Hazeh l'Yemos HaMashiach, ela Shibin Malchias Bilvay." That until now, I'm sorry?
Shmuel, I think.
Yes, Shmuel, absolutely, Shmuel is going to say it. And not only you feel that way, the Gemara is going to bring in another two lines. You're going to see your namesake, Shmuel, said it. Anyway, I don't know if he was known as Brother Shai, but it was Shmuel. But getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara says that at that time of Yemos HaMashiach, they'll only take away the Shibud Malchus, meaning that the difficulties that we have today with the government that oppress us and causes all mina tzuris, that will end. But otherwise, it'll be just a continuation of Olam Hazeh. That being the case, what are Yidden going to do if they don't have the Shibud Malchus anymore? They'll be able to do mitzvahs, they'll be able to learn Torah full time. Everybody's going to go to yeshiva, everybody's going to go to kollel, nobody's going to have to work. Yeah, but who's going to go and bring the produce to the table? After all, we all have to eat if there's no difference between... I'm sorry?
The wives.
The wives. But the wives apparently are all going to go to Bais Yaakov. So our Gemara says, what's going to happen?
Illegal immigrants.
So what's going to happen? V'omduzorim u'utzoinchem. Foreigners are going to come, and they're going to go and be the ones that are going to be the shepherds. They're going to be ikarechem, they're going to be your farmers, the karmechem, they're going to be in charge of the vineyards. So what are we referring to? We're referring to the Gentiles. So therefore, we're going to need those Gentiles. So the average Gentile will not have tchias amesim. But those that we need to go and supply food for us, they will be here, they'll do all the work, and they'll do supply, everything will be great.
Mashiach.
You make Mashiach. You'll see in another couple of lines. So that's when the Yidden will be able to live forever, but the Goyim, they will still pass away whenever they pass away. What do we need the Goyim for at all at that time? So well, we need them for purposes of tilling the fields.
Menial labor.
Do the menial labor. Good. Rav Chizur Rami. Rav Chiz asks a similar stira. See, there's one passage that says, V'chofra levana uvoisha chamek yimalach Hashem tzvakais. Again, this is talking about in L'choira Olam Haba, that at that time, that Levana and the Chama are going to both be humiliated, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be at that time in charge, and there's going to be this beautiful, brilliant light by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, probably similar to the light the Or HaGonus that Rashi refers to back in Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness, Tzadikim Lasad Lavoi. So at that time, the Levana and the Chama will both be humiliated. Today we look at the Chama, oh, look at the bright light. At that time it's going to look like it's a candle in front of an LED bulb that it has very, very minimal lights. It's going to be shamed. Uksimba, there's another pasuk. What do you mean? The Levana's light is going to shine like the sun. The Arachama is going to be Yeshiva Sayim. It's going to be 70 times as much like in the times of the original Brias Olam. So what are you telling me? The Boishacham. Oh, there's a difference. Yemoisa Mashiach, where things are still just continuing on, what's going on, then V'chofa Levana, Boishachama. When, however, it's going to be the real Olam Haba, then the Or Levana, Karachama, etc., as you'll see. Well, Shmuel the Omar, Ein Ben Olam Hazeh L'Moshe Mashiach, El Shibud, says Golias, but Shibud, Shibud, Malchias Bilvod, Leikasha, Kam B'machne Tzadikim, Kam B'machne Shechina. He's saying that there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Moshe Mashiach, so it depends. If you happen to be in the Machne Tzadikim, so then it'll be Chof HaLevana, U'boisha Chama. When you'll have the Tzadikim there, Achov Etzchaim, Etzchem Soifer, and great Gedoylem and Tzadikim and Kedoshim, so then the oil of the Levana and the Chama will pale by comparison. Then the Machne Shechina, or maybe it's the other way around, that in the Machne of the Tzadikim, then there's going to be this bright light, or Levana, or Chama, Yishev Saim, or Yishev Siman. However, in the Machne of the Shechina, then everything will pale by comparison to the bright, beautiful light of the Shechina. Rav Rami Ksiv, I have a stira. Ani Omis Vachaya, Uksiv Machatziv, Ani Erpa. Ani Omis Vachaya, sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to Chas V'Shalom, will cause people to die, and then there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim. And then Machatziv, Ani Erpa, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give Klef, Vani Erpa, and I'm going to give Erefua. So how do these two psukim work in tandem? Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mash, Ani Meimis, Ani Machaya. Those that Chas V'Shalom go to Misa, eventually will be Tchias HaMeisim. V'hoder mash mechatzti. Those ba'olam hazeh were bali mumin, like we had before with Rish Lakish about 10 lines ago. They will be reborn in their form of bali mumin. Vani erpa. Then afterwards, I'm going to go and give them a refuah. So then they're going to be like normal again. So that's what Rashi said. That this is the same as that Gemara earlier that says that kile'el oimdin b'mumin. They're going to be resurrected with their mum or mesrapin, but they will have a refuah. One could learn pshat in the pasuk is we're talking about two separate individuals. Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is certain people, and Kodesh Baruch Hu's mechai other people. That's why virtually all of us on various days of the year, one day we have a levaya, sometimes on the same day we have a bris or something similar. So therefore, I would think maybe that's omis v'chai means two different individuals. One dies and one is born. Kadesh Oilam Noyig, like we have the minik today. Tamaloy Machatzvani Erpa Mamchitza Urafua Biachod, just like the Machatzvi means that I'm gonna collapse someone, I'm gonna hurt someone, I'm gonna give Machatzvashon an illness. Vani Erpa, I'm gonna give him a refuah, no, not somebody else, for the same person. This is yet another reference, another remez, another allusion to the Indian of Tchias HaMeisim. And perhaps the most famous allusion to Tchias HaMeisim is the next one, because Rashi brings it in Chumash. Tani Omer Meir, Minan the Tchias HaMeisim, Toyer Shenemar, Oz Yosher Moshe Vnei Yisrael Shishar Zoyis LaHashem. What do you mean, Oz Yosher Moshe? We're talking about by the Kriyas Yamsiv. Then Shor Moshe, Moshe then began to sing, not that he will begin to sing, he sang at that time. Shor Leinem Eli Yosher, Mikan Tchias HaMeisim and a Toyer, that the time will come, Oz Yosher. Similarly, it says, Oz Yim Yeshua, Mizbech LaHashem. Says then Yeshua is going to build the mizbech. Eventually Yeshua will build. Elamiyata oz yivne shloima bama lechmoish shkishikutz moyet hachanami di yivne. This is talking about after Shlomo Melech married a lot of women, and some of those women were oivde avoyde zara, and unfortunately they tried to influence and impact him that he should go and build a bama lechmoish. Chmoish is the name of the god of Moyev. That's why the pasuk refers to it, Shikutz Moyev, that disgusting one of Moyev, the Kmoish, that god. So Shlomo Melech Lamaaseh did not build it. But what it's saying is, Hachanam Divni, you're telling me that Lassad Lovi, Shlomo Melech is going to go and build such a bama. Ela Malavakos Gilabana. What it means to say is that because his wives began to sway Shlomo Melech's daya on these things, so the pasuk tells us that he already was having a weakness thinking about building such a bottle of ice, he didn't. And Malavakosim, unfortunately, the Torah, in a sense, criticizes, is a critique of Shlomo Melech, that even entertained these thoughts to build a bomb of Chmoy Shikosmaya. Omer Pshu Ben Levi, Minal Kli Yisomayim Ben Torah, another Raish, and then it says, Ashi Yosh V'Yisecha, Oy, Jelucha Sela! Hilucha Loinem, it doesn't say Hilucha, that we already praise Hashem, Eli Yehal Hilucha, that comes to tell me, can't chiyas amazim in the Torah that oit again we're going to be mahal Hashem in the future. Rambam Shimon Levi, kolayim shir b'alam hazeh zoichu im alam haba. If you say shira to Hashem in this world, you'll be zoicha to repeat it again next world. Shenema asher yosh v'isecha oit yaluchas al mitchem be mahal again in the future. Amar b'chei barav amar b'yechana minan chiyas amazim. Torah shenema kol tzefayich nosu kol yachdav yiranein. That the kol tzefayich that yiranein that they will sing rina. Shira v'simcha to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rinnanu loynem el yiranein mekam lechisa v'nevayr that Mitzvah in the future will all sing to Hashem. V'yomer b'chia bar Abba Amr Rabbi Yochanan asin kolam v'im kulan oim shira b'koil echad shenema kol tzafayich nosu koil yachdav yiranein. The word tzoyfe is a remez to a novi. One of the neviim says ani hatzoyfe, ani hachoze. So the tzoyfe is referring to a novi and nosu kol yachdav. The koil will be together. Now you remember a couple of days ago we learned in the Gemara. The Gemara says that ein shtei neviim misnabim besignoin echad, as opposed to those 400 neviim by Achav and Yehoshaphat. So he said ein shtei neviim. That's today. Today meaning in olam hazeh. But lasad lovoi asim kol neviim. They will speak with the same tongue, the same language, the same text. Omer Yudam Rav kol amenei halacha mipital nekila goyis lemenachas avoyis. Whoever doesn't teach all the halacha and all the gemara and all the Torah to his talmidim, it's if he's stealing him from the nachla that he owes, that he owns from his always. Shenema, Torah Tziva Lona, Moshe, Moirasha, Kilas Yaakov, Moirasha, Hilachol Yisrael, Mishesh, Mebreshes. The Torah is a Yerush to decline Yisrael all the way from the times of Breshes, even the Torah was only given a couple of thousand years later in Har Sinai, but Rashi and Chumash brings Beis Reshes. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu create the world? Bishul, Bishul, Toyda Shinikarashis, and Bishul Yisrael Shinikarashis. Already the time Shin Mibrashis, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu already created the Toyda to go and give to Klai Yisrael. So now, if you are going to be Mainea, Halachami Pi Talmud, if you're not going to teach your Talmidim Toyda, you're taking away his Mayrash, his Yerusha that he had from the very beginning of time. You're not teaching Torah to Talmidim. Even the Ubrim Me'iman, the fetuses in their mother's wombs, they are Mekal Chas V'Shalom to a curse. Shnemetz in the Pasuk. So now we have three key words that the Gemara is going to explain. Bar, and Yikbu, and Li'oin. The oin means ubrin, the stomach. Remember, it says by Yaakov and by Esav. Ula oin mila oin yematz v'rav yavay tzur. So loin mila oin means even in the womb, that's Yaakov and Esav. That's loin. That's ubrin. The ein kovay, it says yikvu. What means kovay? El klala. Shneimam me'ekav lekabe kiel. Shneim lekabe dilim arosha. Umo'ezam lizoam hashem. So ekav is the lotion of cursing. Ah, so I have that the loin is going to curse. Vein bar el toira. That's where we started off, Meinei Bar. You're Meinei, you're not teaching a Talmidim Torah in Bar LeTorah Shenema, Nashku Par Ben, Bar Ben Yanav. Therefore, says the Gemara, if you don't teach your Talmid Torah, then Chas V'Shalom, even the fetuses are going to go and curse you.
The last one, Nashku Par Ben Yanav,
the word Bar means Torah. Nashku Bar Ben Yanav. So that, you have to look up the source over there, but that probably referring to text. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zahar Kibben. Atzlecha. Call to view to be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's good
we had the Hasidic guy there.
He didn't dive too slowly, did he?
Right.
He has a...